My name is Tom Rokeby. I'll be spending a little bit of time telling you about my background and introducing you to some of the values that I'll bring to the school board if I'm lucky enough to earn your vote on October 15th in Nanaimo Ladysmith. I moved to Nanaimo as a teenager with my retiring parents, Noel and Shirley Rokeby. I grew up watching my parents immerse themselves in projects such as Loaves and Fishes, Global Village, and Woodgrove Seniors Housing, from idea to reality. The responsibility to help our community grow with dignity and equity was an early lesson. I was a member of Nanaimo District Secondary School's last mass grad in 1989. I continued my education first at Vancouver Island University, then, of course, Malaspina, and in time transferred to the University of Victoria to complete my undergraduate degrees and my teacher certification. I returned home to teach French immersion at NDSS and soon after moved to John Barsby, where I had the chance to establish and run Bulldog Theatre for the next 18 years. My passion drove me beyond the school day, hosting regional festivals, mounting 2 student productions each year, taking students to Japan, and running student vote each election cycle. I raise a family in Nanaimo with my wife Lisa, and I continue to build community the way my parents taught me. Reconciliation is an action word in our household. I teach literacy to residential and day school survivors, and I sit on the board of the Literacy Circle Society. My creative energy is currently being channeled into my role as Artistic Director of Reconciliation Theater. And the entire family is grateful for the Hulkamenum courses taken with Nanaimo Elder Gary Manson and his son Adam Manson through the Nanaimo Art Gallery. Hi, Chika. I live an active lifestyle. I'm currently developing the property that my wife and I bought 12 years ago into the South Wellington Art Farm, an outdoor performing arts center and home to our hens, goats, and kuni-kuni pigs. I'm also an active parent volunteer. I've shared my limited skill and tireless enthusiasm with Island Swish Basketball and Nanaimo Minor Hockey Association. My very first attempt at community organizing was an inline hockey league, the CPHL. I grew old enjoying the sport with new friends, and I'm proud that the league outlasted my body. Most recently, I've been appointed to the steering committee of the South Wellington Community Center, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to design a facility to meet the growing needs of our region. Next, I'd like to share a few of the ideas that I'll bring to the board if I'm elected with your vote on October 15th to the Nanaimo Ladysmith School Board. Of course, this information can also be found on my website at rokeby.ca. That's rokeby.ca, where my entire platform will be posted for you to look over and, by all means, connect with me to ask some follow-up questions. One of my priorities moving on to the board this election cycle would be to recreate healthy workplaces in our schools. Canada is experiencing a labor shortage unprecedented in my lifetime. Gone are the days of teachers being in oversupply. 15 years ago, young teachers were leaving BC faster than raw logs. Management grew complacent about conditions on the front line as there were 10 applicants for every posting. Legislating teachers back to work became a convenient way to ignore festering workplace issues and artificially depress wages. We find ourselves today in a very different circumstance. If our children's education is to remain world-class, we must restore the working conditions of those who work in our schools. We can begin locally by ensuring that our staff are accorded the highest respect while on the job. Professional behavior in our schools should be a universal expectation of all who enter the doors. The same behavior expectations the public finds in government offices should be prominently displayed in our schools for all to see and abide by. Finally, a safe workplace includes the right to a workplace free of sexual harassment. District leadership has run afoul of this basic element of professional respect in recent years. The culture of any organization is set by the behavior that its leadership tolerates, let alone takes part in. School staff work hard to create safe and inclusive working and learning conditions. Adherence to these conditions, again, must be a universal behavior expectation for all, from frontline staff to superintendents and trustees. As I mentioned in my intro, reconciliation is an action item in my household, and I hope to bring that value to the school board if elected on October 15th with your vote. Historically, Our school district has not done an effective job of welcoming Indigenous students into schools and their families into school communities. While much has been made about our district finally catching up in graduation rates, the statistics mask a fundamental problem. Our Indigenous students who do manage to graduate do so overwhelmingly on adult dogwood diplomas. What this means in practice is that too many Indigenous students and their families still feel unwelcome and unsupported in our schools to the degree that they stop attending. Helping these students return for an alternate graduation plan can only be seen as a first step. I will bring two motions to the board before the end of the school year in this area. First, that the district review criteria for leadership in Indigenous education to ensure the agency and influence of the Indigenous communities we serve. Secondly, that the district offer the budget and design of a minimum of one administration non-instructional day per school year to local Indigenous communities to work with teachers and staff on the needs of their students and families. Next up, let's discuss our district's facility renewal plan. Again, year after year, our city grows, and year after year, our school board and senior administration fail to convince the Ministry of Education that their management warrants further investment of public funds. Not surprising, really. Secondary schools with smaller enrollments than many overcapacity elementary schools? Secondary school sites open but not serving their neighborhood? Families in fast-growing neighborhoods have to mobilize to overturn ill-advised closures. It's no wonder ministry officials have invested elsewhere. Even local private schools are seeing public money for new buildings, while School District 68 gets passed over. The city of Nanaimo once found itself in similar circumstances. In spite of a growing housing crisis evident on our streets, the province spent money for shelter in neighboring communities, but not Nanaimo. When the citizens elected a new council not obsessed with hockey arenas, the investment soon followed. The school board and senior management have historically proven unable to obtain Nanaimo's share of provincial infrastructure dollars. Will the same people performing the same focus groups come up with better outcomes? Not likely. Let's put fresh eyes on this important foundational document for the school district and begin to repair our district's reputation for mismanagement. The last time our district secured funding for a new school, the board of the day sent the money back to Victoria. Believe it or not, true story. Our kids deserve better. The final priority that I'd like to share with you today involves my determination to return resources to the classroom. 1,000 classrooms without teachers, yet we keep adding administrators. It's hard to believe, but last year there were over 1,000 classrooms left without a teacher that day. 1,000 times that libraries closed. 1,000 times special needs went unaddressed. 1,000 times that high needs kids were left with strangers. It's just a number until it's your child trying to adjust to a revolving door of teachers. Until there is no educational assistant for your grandchild. For my son, it was grade 8 science. For 2 months, no teacher stayed for more than a day or two. Curriculum was set aside for an endless string of study blocks. No one from administration ever reached out. We still have no idea how this will impact his success in grade 9. Families count on our schools to be safe, consistent, and professional environments for their children. Our current administration has focused on creating bureaucratic systems that only serve to siphon precious resources away from the classroom. Of course, funding always follows administration in the form of executive pay and expense accounts. However, this isn't just about money anymore. As administration grows, it recruits much-needed licensed teachers out of classrooms and into offices. This must stop. As a trustee, I will bring a motion to the board before the end of the year to do a detailed review of just how many licensed teachers our district employs to not teach students. There is a crisis in human resources throughout post-pandemic Canada, and the best short-term solution is to keep teachers teaching. Our district must reject the bloated administrations of the past and empower a new generation of professional, well-resourced teachers who deal directly with their families at what I call the parent-student-teacher intersection. Because that's where learning takes place, not in offices. Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to myself and the other candidates running for office this year. We truly appreciate your time, and again, thanks, Todd.
You know the road is clear for those who dare to make a place better and make it fair, where you're living it up just like in your dreams. And there's a secret code for those who know. It sets them free and it helps them grow.